feet. That's right, Danny. We're going to have church this morning. Is that all right? Oh, come on. I said we can have church this morning. Come on. Like this. Here we go. One, two. One, two. One, two, three, four.
Be the man. Blessed be the man.
Amen. Wanted to get you pepped up there a little bit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Want to say welcome to those of you who are on our phone live streaming. Glad to have you there. All of our other social media platforms, thank you for being there also. If you're at home and you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab there that you can download the worship bulletin for today, as well as the children's worship bulletins. We have two of these, one's for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. Over here. So be sure to grab those. The bulletins are at any of the doors, and you can download them there on the internet. Don't also forget that under the info tab is the prayer list, so be sure to download that and be praying for each one of those who are on our prayer list. We will be dismissing after a while for Children's Church, so if you have kids and you want to send those to Children's Church, they'll be meeting on the side over here, and Brother Michael will let you know when that is. If you're a guest here this morning, we also want to make sure that you pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage. We have them at the doors at both ends, so be sure to grab one of those. It's got some information about our church. It's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say welcome. We're so glad to have you here with us. There's some little snacks in there too, so be sure to pick you up one. That'll get you through till lunch. All right, but glad to have you here with us this morning. Be sure to grab one of those, and Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good morning, all. I know you've just sat down, but why don't you stand with us as we praise the Lord through the song, hymn 60, Be Thou My Vision. Please join the choir. Back.
Well, as we come to our missionary moment in your bulletins, you'll notice in your bulletins there are our missionaries, are Cody and Lindsay Ayton. They are serving in Gloucester, Massachusetts as church planters. And so we want to encourage you to be praying for them. They had dreams of starting a new church in 2021, and in 22, Freedom Church began meeting in a local elementary school, but they had some complaints that began to make the rounds on social media. The church was pressured to leave from there, but God began orchestrating a solution. There was a Methodist church in town that had closed, and the church's pastor invited them to use their building. And so God orchestrates things even when man tries to thwart God's plan. And so pray that God would continue to use Freedom Church and the Aitons to change lives for His sake in their city. We also want to pray for the Meritus who are serving in Moldova. We've asked you to pray for several things for them. One, for the positive meetings that they've had, and thanking the Lord for that. The mayor's there to use the community spaces for church services. We've been praying last week to be in prayer for them with the logistics to come together for the pastors and wives and work ministers there. And their co-laborers and having that respite weekend. So continue to pray for that. But they also asked for you to please pray for their family as they begin homeschooling soon. So pray for Jenny as she begins to prepare for the year and for a great start to the fall. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for the Meritus and for the Aitons. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness. We thank you, God, that you love us and you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. You made a way where there seemed to be no way, that we now have direct access to come before your throne of grace. And we can come before your throne of grace with confidence, not based on anything that we have done, but based on the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. And so we come humbly, Lord, before your presence, asking you to forgive us of our sins, asking, Lord, for you to hear our prayers. And Father, I pray that as you cleanse us and cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, may you have your way and your will in our hearts and in our lives. So bless us this morning. We want to uplift these missionaries to you, especially Cody and Lindsay Ayton, as well as the Meritus serving in Moldova. Lord, you know each and every one of their needs. The Aitons serving as North American Mission Board church planters there in Massachusetts. Lord, we just pray that you will open up more opportunities there for them as they share the gospel. Provide for the Meritus that are serving there in Moldova and the ministries that they're doing, as well as for their personal requests that they've asked for in starting homeschool for their kids. So, Lord, just be with them in a special way. Lord, we pray for your will to be done in this service this morning as we come. Lord, we bring everything we have, all that we are, to you. We lay it at the foot of the cross. Help us to leave it there with you, Lord, and let you to take it and to fix it and to make it into your way and your will and your plan in your time. And Father, I pray that we will trust you to bring about what's best for us and what brings glory to your name. So bless this service this morning in all we say and all we do in the songs that are sang. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we do want to encourage you, especially if you're at home and want to do your giving, you can do that online. Go to the church website there and to the far right-hand side, highlandbaptistchurch.com. Click on the Give Online tab. Easy platform there, secure platform that you can use to set up a one-time gift, a recurring gift. You can do that in person. Also, you've also got the offering envelopes in the pews in front of you. If you don't have some right at your seat, there are some back at the doors back there on the side, as well as on the tables, and there's some in the windowsills here. So be sure to grab some of those. We want to remind you too, if you're thinking about maybe joining our church, we want to encourage you to come and attend our new members Sunday school class. It's a great class where you can learn about our church, learn some of our beliefs and what we do as a church. So encourage you to do that. That's upstairs in the upstairs part of our educational building. Brother Tommy Griffin teaches that class 9:15 on Sunday morning, so I encourage you to come for that. Even if you just want to find out more about our church, or maybe you've even been a member all this time and you've never taken that class, I'd encourage you to take it. It's only 4 weeks. You can take that class and then get plugged back into your Sunday school class. If you're not in one, we can help you to get plugged into a Sunday school class. And then also, Just a couple of other quick things that I want to mention we have Awana kickoff coming this Wednesday, so I want to encourage you to be here for that as we are reaching out to our families. We have some of those families that are a part of our church, but we have a lot of families that we're reaching out that are not. And so we want to encourage you to come and to fellowship with those families, fellowship with those kids, encourage them as we get ready to kick off and begin Awana. That's this Wednesday at 5 o'clock, so I want to encourage you to be here. Or 5:30 to 7 o'clock. So be sure to be here for that. We won't have regular worship services in here, and we won't have choir practice in here. So join us in the fellowship hall for all the activities we'll be doing also. So just wanted to make you aware of those things. I'll say this, I'll probably hear it again at the end, but don't forget your deacon ballots. Those are to be turned in today as we'll count those this evening. So that's all I think I want to mention right now. You'll hear more announcements later. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Take your hymnals again or sing from the screen. Hymn number 410, It Is Well With My Soul.
Oh,
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old force inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. You feel lost. He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. You need freedom for saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, 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 oh. Now it's your turn to join with us by standing, and let's sing our hymn number 514. Children will be gathering over here on the piano side for children's church, but 514 will be when we all get to heaven. It's back. Sing.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. This is our last in our series of Psalms in the summer. There you go. We'll swap. The message is entitled this morning, Glorify Him. And as we've said before, each one of these messages in the book of Psalms here has been about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's no different in this passage. In fact, this is probably the climax, if you will, of what we're seeing through this series about Jesus himself and about his resurrection and what that means to us and how we ought to glorify him because of all that he's done for us. So we're going to read this entire psalm as we begin. So Psalm 16, verse 1 down through verse 11. Would you stand with me as we read God's word in honor of his word? A miktam of David. And a miktam is a musical or liturgical term here. So, a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you will speak into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, I pray that we will sense and feel the power of the Holy Spirit present here in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we will open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you're about to share with us through your word, just as you've shared with us through the songs that we've sung. Father, I pray that we will have a confidence, if we already know Christ as our Lord and Savior, to know, Lord, that there is much that we are to be glorifying you about, not just in our words, but also in our lives. But Father, I pray for those who may be here, who may be watching online, who don't know Christ. Lord, I pray they'll hear the gospel message about how you love us, how you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to be resurrected from the grave on the third day so we could have eternal life with you and to be with you forever and ever. So bless your word this morning. May it go forth and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, our life's goal ought to be to bring glory to the Lord God who created us, who loved us, who protects us, who sustains us, who provides for us, who promises us that he will always be present with us. So bringing glory to God is the only way that we can experience true joy in our hearts and in our lives. So we need to understand that finding the truth of finding the fullness of joy in God and that pleasures forevermore are at God's right hand, which means we need to be as close to the Lord as we possibly can. So what I want to talk to you about this morning from this passage is this, is that why should we make it our life's vocation, our life's goal to find full and everlasting pleasure in God and to bring glory to his name? Why should that be the focus of our life? And what difference will it make in our life if we do that? Well, there are several reasons that I want us to see throughout this psalm that show us why we should glorify him. The first is this, is that we have the protection of the Lord. We have the protection of the Lord. Now understand this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are outside of His protection. You are outside the sheltering arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you want His protection, you have to receive His free gift of grace and mercy through faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you. But as a believer, you have the protection of the Lord. And so the psalmist understands that. David understands that. And he tells us, first of all here, that the wise person will run to God and find satisfaction. So what is it that makes you feel safe? Is it locks on your door and a dog to alert you? Is it having money in your bank account that makes you feel safe? Is it knowing that help is just a phone call away, that you can dial 911 and the police will be there, the emergency services, or you can call a friend or a family member? What is it that makes you feel safe? Well, for David, who was a warrior and who was a king, he chose to trust in God rather than locks on doors or money or even as a king in his military might. Psalm 20, verse 7 says this, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." That was to be the focus of the nation of Israel. They were to be trusting in the name of the Lord their God. That's what we as believers are to be doing. So when you're faced with fear and what it is that makes you feel safe, trust in the name of the Lord our God. So we find in verse 1 that David cries out, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." So what he's saying there is he's saying, save me. He's saying, keep me, hold on to me. Don't ever let go of me. Let me ask you this about your prayers. Is that your prayer? Is that the way you pray? Understand that we need God to keep us every day, all day. Because this world has so much that it throws at us that we need His protection. We need His presence every day, all day. Understand that you cannot do life without Him. Some of you who are here this morning, you've been trying to do life without Him. And you see the messed up mess that you're in because of that. And you understand that. And so know that life cannot be lived without Him. You know, we can flee to God and we can ask Him to protect us and deliver us. You can't remain a believer without God's preserving grace. Keep me, hold me, preserve me. It's a word that means to keep or to watch over. It pictures somebody who stays awake at night to keep others safe and secure. You ever done that? I know we all have. Most of us have anyway. When you had those little babies and they're sleeping in their crib, that was the hardest thing to ever do, was to let our kids sleep in another room instead of the bassinet in our room with us. You had a hard time going to sleep. You were listening. The slightest movement. That's why they came out with those little baby monitors that you could put in the baby's room and you could hear it in your room, because sometimes you couldn't hear it over there. And so, you know, we wanted to feel secure and safe about others, staying awake at night. And that's the emphasis of this word preserve here. He's saying, God, watch over me, even when I'm sleeping, even when I don't realize what's going on. You know, it is dangerous to drive on the highway. You ever experienced that? It seems to get more and more dangerous. People cutting you off, people not paying attention to red lights or stop signs. Maybe you're that person. I don't know. But it's getting more and more dangerous. We need the Lord's protection when we're driving. We need the Lord's protection because we don't all know what's going on inside our bodies till you go to the doctor and he says, well, this blood work showed this, and we've got to run some more tests, and you find out you've got this problem that's been going on inside your body you didn't even know about. We need God's protection over us. We need Him to preserve us. So David isn't asking God to simply just protect him during some difficult battle or even through some scary event. No, David's prayer for safety is much bigger than that, because David is expecting God to keep him safe even through that one word we don't like to talk about, death. Look down to verse 10. In verse 10, he says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." David is crying out to the Lord, "Preserve me, watch over me, take care of me, let you be the refuge for my life. Keep me safe, even through death." In other words, he's saying, "I turn to you for safety above all the other ways that I might want to feel safe, locking the doors, turning on the alarm, being able to call someone." He's saying, "I put my trust in you. I turn to you for safety above all the other ways of being safe. You, O Lord, are my safest refuge." We need to have that kind of confidence that David had in God. Look at verse 8. He says, "I have made the Lord always. I have determined to have the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." You remember the song we sing? "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." That's our God. He is our mighty fortress. And so we in our lives need to repeat David's prayer for ourselves. "Lord, keep me safe because I take refuge in you." Instead of all these false senses of security, we need to be like David and say to the Lord, "You, Lord, are the source of my safety. God, if you were to fail me, I have no other place to go. So I turn to you to be safe and secure. Where else could I go but to you? Because it's only in you that I can find my refuge." Notice verse 2. He says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." Why does David say that? Well, David could say that. The reason he could rely on God to keep him safe is because of what he says here. He says, "You are my Lord. You are my good." That is, that as you, Lord, direct all the good that comes to me, and you alone are the good that counts and comes to me. So David is saying, "You're my Lord, you're the authority above all the other authorities. Doesn't matter what else it is that might try to make you feel secure in this world and make you feel safe in this world. God is above all of those things. There is no good apart from you." And so the personal pronouns are very important here, because you can't feel that security, you can't feel that safety if he is not your Lord personally. Understand, just because your mom and dad are Christians, young people, doesn't mean that you are. You have to personally make that decision yourself. And so those personal pronouns are important there. The sovereign Lord, the master of creation, is David's good. And so apart from the Lord, he realizes, "I don't have any good." God is his delight. God is his treasure. God is his refuge. And to look for goodness, true goodness, anywhere else, he's saying, would be foolish. It would be akin to being idolatrous, if you would. It would mean pursuing another god, a false god. James chapter 1, verse 17 reminds us and says that every good and perfect gift is from above. Nothing that this world offers is good. And if there is any good, then it comes from God. Notice verse 3. He says, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." For us this morning, that would apply to us here as the church. So when you look around at the church this morning, when you look around at your neighbors this morning, as for the saints in this church, are they the excellent ones? Or are you always looking at the negative about people? Are they the ones you esteem? They are the excellent one. In whom is all my delight? See, what David realizes here is that what brings David delight the most is because God is his greatest good and his greatest delight. And what matters most to God is his people. You matter to God this morning. Whether you're here and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're a part of the church, you matter to God. Everything that God delights in, David delights in. There is no true good apart from God. We ought to delight in the church. There is no good apart from God. And Jesus said, you remember, to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, he said to the rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God above. If you just want to think of me as just some prophet, some guy who lived a good life way back there, why are you calling me good? Because what it means to be good is that I come from God, that I am God. Because no one is good except God above. There's no real good apart from God. So David tells us that the wise person will run to God and find satisfaction in God. But he also tells us that the unwise person will run from God and find sorrow. So if you're here this morning and you've been running from God, know this, you have found sorrow in your life. Verse 4 goes on to say that the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips, David says. So the unwise of verse 4 is contrasting sharply to the wise in verse 1 and through verse 3. The unwise don't trust the Lord. They don't enjoy the fellowship and the blessings of the believers. So notice what happens to them. Tragically, they all have their sorrows multiplied upon being multiplied. Why? Because they take or hasten after or run after another god. You may be sitting here thinking this morning, I've not been running after any other God. But understand this, anything you put before the God of this word is another God. Whether that's something material, whether that's something of an idea that you're running after, whatever it might be. If anything you put before God becomes another God that you're running after. And so they chase empty dreams, he's saying, clouds without water, illusional aspirations and goals and hopes that never materialize. In other words, what they believe will bring joy, what this world believes will bring joy, only brings sorrow. So how do you know if God is supreme in your life? Well, one of the ways that you know God is first in your life is that God is the one thing you want to pass along to other people more than anything else. Think about this. How you spend your most precious resources will tell about how much the Lord means to you. Look at how you spend your time. Does the Lord mean much to you in your time? Look at your money. Look at your wallet. Look at your checkbook. Look at your bank statement. When you look at your money, how much does the Lord mean to you? It's also seen in the friends you keep. Because notice what verse 4 says here that David says. He said, I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. In other words, I'm not going to be fellowshipping with those people. Now, the other thing we need to understand is, as Christians, we're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And that's what David is saying here. He's not saying that I'm going to isolate myself and become a hermit and never have anything to do with anybody in this world. We're to be a witness to this world. But he's saying, I'm not going to hang out with those who don't love the Lord. I'm going to hang out with those who do love the Lord. That's where I'm going to spend the predominance of my time that he talked about in verse 3. So we have here in this first verse, in these first four verses, we have the protection of the Lord. Secondly, I want you to see that we have the provisions of the Lord in verse 5 and verse 6. So verse 5, he says, in effect, as you go, I go, God. If your stock falls, my stock falls. I'm with you because you are my chosen portion. So verse 5 says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. What in the world does that mean? That means you hold everything that I am. You hold everything about me, everything that I am and everything that I have. You hold my lot. The lines, he says, have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Nothing will give you more day-to-day confidence in your life than having God direct your life. Think about what happened in the Old Testament. You think about Elijah. God gave Elijah the confidence to face the evil treachery of King Ahab and Jezebel. God gave Daniel confidence to fearlessly confront the pressure of the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar. God gave the apostle Paul the confidence to face persecution just for sharing Jesus Christ. And so David says here, the Lord is our sustenance. That's what verse 5 is talking about. He's my chosen portion and my cup. He holds my lot. Now, David uses the name there, Lord. If you'll notice in your Bible, how is that written? It's all caps. It's the covenant name of God. It's Yahweh, Jehovah. So what David needs for life, he says, I need the Lord, not the things of the Lord. I need him. In other words, I'm not seeking after just blessings. Lord, bless me. Lord, I want you in my life. So often we want God's blessings without him. You know, God is David's drink and God's David's food, he's saying here. The Lord is his nourishment. He'll never need, he finds every need that he has, he finds in the Lord and in the future. What a blessing to know that the God we serve holds this whole world in his hands and he holds our future in his hands too. David also says the Lord is our inheritance. Look at verse 6. He says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. What's he talking about there, lines? And what he's talking about here, he's using some promised land imagery as he uses that word lines. There were boundary lines that would be set out for the 12 different tribes. If you go back and you read in the Old Testament there in those first five books, when they came to the promised land, there's a huge long section there that describes every tribe's layout of their land and where the lines fall for each one of their boundaries. And he's saying, lines, boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. What David has, he realizes, he has it from the Lord. Do you realize that this morning about your life? Everything you have and everything you are comes from the Lord. David says that we have the protection of the Lord. We have the inheritance. So notice here about this inheritance that he's talking about. He realizes it comes from the Lord. He realizes this God who gave it to him. He realizes I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. The inheritance remains safe and secure because it's the Lord who provides it. It's the Lord who places it. It's the Lord who protects it. So he's telling us that if we have the Lord in our lives, why in the world would you want for anything else? You have everything you'd ever need. So why do we go seeking for other things to fill things in our life when we need to be going to the Lord? So David says that we have the protection of the Lord, we have the provisions of the Lord, and now in verse 7 and verse 8, he says we have the presence of the Lord. Verse 7 says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So notice he continues to focus on the greatness and the goodness of God. When you come to the Lord, we have to come in the same way David did here, focused on the goodness and the greatness of God. When you get focused on yourself, when you get focused on this world, when you get focused on people, it's going to let you down every single time. But when you focus on God, he is good and he is great. So how do we get to the place where we make the Lord supreme in our lives? In a word, it's determination. The Lord is David's most valuable asset. And notice what he said in verse 8, I have set. To set the Lord before you requires determination. Determined people are the opposite of lazy people. You know, lazy people live life like they're floating down a lazy river, yet the river takes them wherever. Determined people live their lives by priorities, by God's priorities. So because the Lord means so much to us and ought to mean so much to us, we ought to make the Lord that determined priority in our life, so that as you are listening to the Lord speaking to your heart, as you're spending time in His Word, you ought to be praying, Lord, keep me from going to the right, keep me from going to the left. Lord, keep me focused on Your goodness and on Your greatness. David had his priorities set. Question is, do we? You know, many people try to fix their problems without God, without His Word. Notice that David says that it's the Lord who's his counselor. You know, I'm not saying that there's anything that is bad to go to earthly counselors. We need counselors. In fact, the Bible tells us that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We need godly counselors in our lives. But what we need to understand is what Isaiah tells us, is that we have a wonderful counselor, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that we need to be going to. So David blesses the Lord because of His counsel that comes even at night when my thoughts trouble me. You ever been that place in your life? You lay your head down to go to sleep and your eyes begin to close and there's just so much. The wheels are spinning in there and you just can't stop thinking about the troubles of the day or something that's going on in your life and you have a hard time. It's almost, you know, they call insomnia. You know, it's like that. Here he is. He says, even though at night when my thoughts are troubling me, I listen to the Lord. So when you wake up in the night and you're thinking all those thoughts that are just spinning around your head, let me encourage you, go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Psalms. Because one of the places you'll find it, one of the things you'll find in the Psalms over and over and over by the psalmist is he faced trouble. And yet in the midst of that trouble, he always turns his focus back to the Lord. So notice Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 7 says this. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So David says, I receive wisdom and direction from the Lord. I receive it in the daytime. I receive it in the nighttime. I receive it in the good times. I receive it in the troubling times. Where does the direction for your life come from? David reminds us it's the Lord who comforts us. So because the Lord fills David's mind with counsel, the Lord guides his life so that he will not be shaken. Notice what he said there in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. The Lord's guiding his mind. The Lord's guiding his heart. You know, at night when the mind can run wild, David's mind runs to the Lord. And that's where our heart and mind needs to run. At night when the heart worries and frets easily, the Lord can come into your life if you'll let Him and bring calm and bring rest. And so the believer, the disciple of Jesus, can say of this wonderful counselor, this instructor, I have set the Lord always before me. Could that be something you say of your life? See, the Lord is to be our constant companion. He's to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Because this God rules and sustains this universe. But He's also the same Lord who stays right in front of us. Just like the psalmist, we can say, because He's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting in Him for my protection. We have the Lord's presence. Why would we ever think of moving? Why would we let anything shake us from the joy that we can only find in Him? And so David says that we have the protection of the Lord, we have the provisions of the Lord, and we have the presence of the Lord. And finally, he says, we have the promises of the Lord in verse 9 through verse 11. So David has put his trust in the Lord. God has sovereignly provided all that he needs, he says. And he has carefully mapped out his inheritance. He's David's counselor. He's David's confidant, always in sight, ever at his side. David says, enemies may come against me, and death may even threaten me, but I rest in the Lord who completely satisfies me. So how can David and how can we feel that way in the midst of trouble, in the midst of strife? There are three reasons why if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because when you know him as your Savior, we have his peace. We have his peace. It's a peace that Paul tells us passes all understanding. Notice verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. The Lord is always right with us, as verse 8 had said. He's right there at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. So just like David, you can be glad in your heart. You can have your whole being rejoicing before him. Because David not only rejoices inwardly, he rejoices outwardly. He shouts, my whole being rejoices. What is the result here? My body, when I do that, rests securely. David is secure in his body and in his soul. In other words, he has an inward and an outward peace. He has a spiritual and a physical peace. He is whole because he's in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So in other words, even if an earthquake shakes up your life, you can have the composure and security in your life because it's God who gives it to you. Psalm 46, verse 2 to verse 5 says this, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. That ought to be true of every one of our lives as believers. We ought to be like Joseph in the Old Testament, who even though he was falsely accused and suffered in prison, nevertheless, he kept his confidence in God. We ought to be like Job, that even though he was falsely accused and suffered on an ash heap, nevertheless, he pressed God to answer his prayers. But how can David make such a stunning claim? Well, verse 10 gives us the answer, because we not only have his peace, we also experience his power. We experience his power. Notice verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or to death, or let your Holy One see corruption. So here in this part, David is looking forward to the future. And although Old Testament eschatology wasn't highly developed at this point, there is a presentation here of the existence and the presence of the Lord that appears here. In other words, death is not going to have the last word here. This psalm is quoted twice in the book of Acts. Did you know that? It's quoted twice in the book of Acts. When the early Christians and the apostles went to explain the meaning of the resurrection, you know where they turned to? Psalm 16. Psalm 16. It was Psalm 16 when Peter stood up at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29 to 31 and said, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned in Hades in death, nor did his flesh see corruption. The quote from Psalm 16. You remember when Jesus prayed his last words to the Father on the cross? He said in Luke 23 and verse 46, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When Jesus prayed those words, he put his life and his death in the hands of the Father. And how did the Father take care of Jesus? He didn't abandon his soul in Hades. Jesus' flesh didn't see corruption. It did not decay. So when David speaks these words in Psalm 16, some 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, these words couldn't be true of David or anybody else. Instead, they're only true about Jesus Christ because it's only he who was raised from the dead before his body experienced any decay. Let me encourage you to raise your confidence in God today. He has a firm grip on every part of your life, even if you don't always see it, including death. David, by the Spirit, looks down through the corridors of history. He sees Jesus delivered out of the corruption of the grave through his glorious resurrection. Only Jesus can ultimately fulfill the promise of these verses. So we have the experience of his power here, the power that God's Son was raised from the grave with. We not only have the peace, we not only experience the power, but finally we enjoy his presence. Look again at verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. Notice here, David's confidence in the Lord is perfect. He has a complete trust in God who can bring life out of death. The God we can trust for our future is a God who we can trust today no matter what. So therefore, we ought to live in the reality of verse 11 every day. David says, you make known to me the path of life. In other words, the Lord is the one who determines the way. We walk in it. Proverbs 15, 24 says, the path of life leads upward for the prudent that he may turn away from Sheol or death beneath. Back in Psalm 16, verse 11, we also see here that in your presence is fullness of or abundant joy. Where? In the Lord's presence. What? Abundant joy. Psalm 84, verse 10 says, for a day in your courts, in other words, in your presence, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. All our ushers ought to be encouraged by that, being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. One of the most amazing things is that the Lord doesn't, though, promise one day in his house. He promises an eternity in his presence forever. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, God's people shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so David concludes this psalm with a simple but very beautiful affirmation. Notice what he says at the end of verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Back in verse 8, he said that the Lord is at David's right hand with his perfect presence. Now we're at the right hand with eternal pleasures, because all those pleasures come to us through being in the presence of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that's why we can shout and sing, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He has died to set me free. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my Savior satisfied with me? See, Jesus' resurrection brings us all the promises of Psalm 16. It's all because of his resurrection that we can call God my Lord in verse 1 and 2. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we're united with brothers and sisters in Christ who ought to be our delight, as verse 3 said. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we have a beautiful inheritance in Jesus' eternal kingdom from verse 5 and verse 6. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we have a faithful counselor who will teach us and be at our right hand in verse 7 and verse 8. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we won't be abandoned, not even in death, in verse 9 and verse 10. And it's because of Jesus' resurrection that we can have a fullness of joy. So because of all these blessings, we ought to never stop praising God. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you have his protection, you have his provision, you have his presence, you have his promises, and it's only when we trust in him, in his promises, that we can have his peace and experience his power in the midst of his presence. Glorify him with your voice, but also glorify him with your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a powerful passage from David as we close this series. Father, I pray that we will look at our hearts and look at our lives and ask the question, would my Savior be satisfied with me this morning? have I glorified him, not only in my words. It's one thing for us to say that we love you. It's one thing for us to say that I'll serve you, that I'll be faithful. But Lord, are we doing those things in our lives? Lord, I pray that we would come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit if we have sin. Lord, if we have sin of things that we have committed against you, if there's sin in our hearts where we have disobeyed and not listened and not done what you've told us to do, maybe to go share with our friend or to share with a coworker about Jesus. Lord, that ought to be the desire of our hearts, to glorify Christ by telling others about him and what he's done for us. Father, I pray that you would change us from the inside out. Lord, there are some who are here this morning, some who may be watching online, they've never trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, I pray today they would call out to you and say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for me. I believe he was buried in the tomb and arose on the third day so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin as I repent of it and turn away from it to turn to follow you." Lord, I pray that you would stir in my heart a more faithful walk with you. And Lord, help me to live for you all the days of my life. Help those, Lord, who prayed something like that in their hearts to come this morning to profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. Others, Lord, who need to come to join this fellowship. Whatever decisions, Lord, we give it all to you. And we ask for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing number 320, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," would you come as the Lord leads in your heart? Seated for just a moment before Mike gives our announcements. I have to confess, I've not been a good father. Last Sunday, I didn't say anything about our son and his girlfriend getting engaged. Some of you are not on our social media. But Christopher and Rachel Rogers, they're engaged to be married. They've set a date for next year, June the 7th. So be in prayer for them as they get ready for that. So I just wanted to share that.
Please look at your bulletin and all the things that are coming up this week. We have several things we want to bring to your attention. Deacon election, this is the last day, and the boxes are in front and then back in front of the pastor's office back here to put your choices there. Awana kickoff, do you have something you want to say? Okay, Miss Linda.
say, it's finally here, the day that all the kids have been waiting for. We're having our kickoff this coming Wednesday from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. There'll be food, fun, hay rides, gift bags, and much more, I'm sure. If you, parents, if you have not pre-registered your kids, please do that today. Because we will be registering kids Wednesday night. If you're already done, then the line won't be so long. I want to thank all that have I want to thank all those who have volunteered. You are in for, and we are in for, a wonderful adventure this year as we lead kids to Christ. But the good news is there is still room for more volunteers. So if you have, if the Lord has been speaking to you about helping and you're hesitant because you know you can't be there every Wednesday, well, I hesitated to be director this year because I knew I'd be out one Wednesday every month. And the Lord said, you know, you can still be there the Wednesdays that you're here. So, and Miss Joanna's going to fill in for me when I'm gone. So don't let that stop you. And I've had several who have volunteered that only can come one Wednesday a month or just a few Wednesdays in a month. And I'm thinking if we have enough that come just every once in a while, we'll be able to fill all the needs the whole time. So come see me, Pastor Jim, or call Miss Amy. There's also a sign-up list on the board. If you have never served and you're nervous about it, well, you're in good company because I am nervous in the service every year. But God is not nervous, so don't let that stop you. And if you are not volunteering because you are not a member, I have got some paperwork that I need help with that I struggle to get done every week. So there is, if the Lord is calling you, please say yes. You will not be sorry. It will be a huge blessing, and you will be a blessing to the kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Miss Linda. Prayer request, continue to remember George Duncan. He's in rehab, and I didn't ask him permission, so forgive me. Continue to remember Keith Bailey. After his procedures this past week or two, so continue to be with him. Miss Linda Jones is, I think, home now. Continue to remember her. Lee Stevenson, continue to remember him and the family in your prayer. Also, the missions team meeting will be in the conference as a reminder in the conference room after the prayer, after the service. I don't know if I need to add this or not. Sometimes I can't hear. Sitting back here, what's going out this way. Two helpers for Samantha Norman with the Cubbies, and one helper to rotate the older children. In addition, and that was for Awana. In addition, Cherie Powers' dad continued to remember Mr. Ortner in your prayers. He needs it very much. So if you need specific information, you need to talk to Ms. Cherie. Jennifer Williams' dad, Bill Gordon, has had major heart issues and has 90% blockages, so continue to remember him. Is there anyone else that has an addition to this? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today just praising you for your power, your glory, and for the beauty around us. For even in the ugliness that we see in the world, you're still in control, and we know that you are watching over us. I pray that you forgive us where we fall short and help us desire to step up and walk with you and to just please you in all that we can do, Lord, and just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your son. I pray that you be with each of these that have been mentioned this morning. Pray for all the programs that are going on and all the lives that can be touched. And like said, Lord, if we're nervous, we can give it to you, and you'll help our nerves. Lord, I pray that the jobs that are before us, we don't mind doing, and Lord, just thank you for opportunities to share about you. Lord, thank you for what we've heard this morning, the word shared, and the songs lifted, and I pray that you've been pleased. We forgive us where we fall short, and we'll talk later. In Christ's name, amen.